Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, it is not Steve, it's Becky Brown, and I'm so glad to be here with you, and I'm glad you tuned in, and I know that you will find some help and hope today. That's what our hope is for you. And I'm joined by Chris Williams, marriage family therapist, and Dr. Alice Benton, who's a psychologist, and we were just talking about how many things that are going on in the world that we all just need that hope for. And Alice and I both decided that Chris needs to tell us all what we're supposed to do. So I'm just saying, Chris, what is the wisdom?
I don't remember saying that.
Listen, you just hang with me, Alice. I'll take care of it. But, you know, I think about it as we're going into the end of the year. You know, it's October. And, you know, when we start a show in January, we're all talking about, oh, you know, what's your resolution? What are you going to do? And, you know, as we kind of slide towards December, I always think about, what is the thing that you've left undone? What is the thing that you need to address? And, you know, of course, New Life, we can help you in all different kinds of ways. But, you know, Chris, do you got any wisdom for our listeners today? Or maybe just me?
I think, because this is personal, it's sort of like follow thy own advice, Sage, okay. You know, it's like, there's a line in Screwtape Letters where Uncle Screwtape, which is like this head demon figure, is mentoring Woodworm, which is his, you know, like junior demon or whatever, trying to negatively influence this person that they're assigned to. And Uncle Screwtape says something to Woodworm that is really profound, but it's obvious, and that is, you cannot forget what they, meaning humans, always tend to. And that is what their bodies do affects their soul. And so this is really personal to me because as I am looking at some things I've let slide in my physical health, and that we're coming up on a season where we tend to have indulgences. Right, I should say I tend to have indulgences. You know, I mean, pumpkin spice, pumpkin, whatever. I'm in. I'm for it all.
And then we begin to look like pumpkins.
I got a little bit of a pumpkin belly going on right now. And but the truth is, how I'm treating my body, how I'm treating myself, it all works together. You know, it all, God has created us as a total being. And so I can't expect to mistreat my body and feel good. I can't expect to put bad caloric intake, whether that be food, whether that be information, whether that be entertainment, or obviously our harmful sin patterns, and expect something to be good. So I think for me, and I actually went to the doctor this morning, is that it was such a reminder that regardless of the season I'm coming up in, a investment in my health, again, helps not just me, but it helps me show up for the people around me. So if you're like me and you're looking at all of the holiday treats, you know, the specialty coffee drinks, the food, the carb loading, all of that, and it's a time to indulge, let's instead have a end of a year resolution and say, no, it's time to invest well.
And I think also paying attention to why you're using those things as opposed to whatever, whether it's, you know, you really are hungry, or maybe you're tired, maybe you're lonely, you know, what are you using substitutes
for? And we need to come back to that because there's a huge connection there. But
that's right. Well, we are so glad you're here. both you and Alice, because you're both wise. And we're going to answer some questions from our callers. And, you know, New Life exists to help people find their new life. There is always hope, and we have help so that you can find that hope. We've got some workshops coming up. We've got resources. We've got counselors across the country that can help you find your new life. We will be right back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, I always want to say hello to the YouTube family. That's where I watch when I'm not on the program. And I just appreciate you all viewing us there. But also, I want to encourage you, if you haven't already subscribed, hit that subscribe button. And what about sharing it? You know, maybe if you share that with a friend, or, you know, not that you're going to be directly saying, hey, I think you need to listen to this. But you never know what a difference it'll make in the lives of so many people. So we just encourage you to check us out on the YouTube channel, as well as all the socials. You know, we're on Facebook and Instagram and all that kind of thing. And it can be a real encouragement in those days when you're scrolling and you're having envy or maybe jealousy or maybe getting a little depressed because you're looking at the highlight reel of everybody's life. There will be some truth that will be presented, and some, you know, some of it is kind of funny, but we're there for you, and we want to encourage you to check it out. Now, we're going to continue that conversation that we started at the beginning. Chris or Alice, who wanted to, they wanted to say something.
Well, I'll say something first. Someone the other day came up to me and they were mentioning something on my Instagram or Facebook, and they were like, man, I really want your life. And I'm like, whoa. You want my Instagram life. Guess what? So do I. Uh-huh. But that's not it. You know, that medium, and we talked about this in a previous show, but that medium doesn't get into the details and nuances. Mm-hmm. It's why I have an honest struggle with Twitter, is because so much is lost in what can't be expressed in that limited amount of characters, and including face-to-face communication, nonverbals, all of that sort of thing. So with that said, is that when we're talking about our stress levels, and we're talking about trying to find relief from stress, I want you to ask yourself this question. Does going to Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, whatever it may be for you, does it ultimately relieve your stress? Now, it could distract you from your stress, but does it actually solve a problem? And this is really important, because I was talking about food before. Is food, you know, the pumpkin spice cake makes me feel good, feel full in the moment. But am I using it to solve a problem that it can't solve? Mm. And that becomes the heartbeat of all addictive processes, is it makes me feel good, but it doesn't solve a problem.
Well, now you're meddling. Because all of us have that issue, right? It's like there's always something that we're turning to that isn't going to fulfill us. And, you know, and that's where the challenge is, especially if it's pumpkin spice flavored. I mean,
exactly.
Well, and the cake and the time on social media do give us a dopamine spike where we feel a burst of pleasure. And so that does provide an emotional and even a physical relief. But what we see long term, especially if we spend significant amounts of time on social media, which is really just more than 2-3 hours a day, is significant. And a lot of us are constantly connected.
Right.
It actually prolongs the process of cortisol being metabolized in the body. And cortisol is a stress hormone. So when we face stress, our body naturally reacts to deal with the stress. Well, we don't feel good when we have high levels of cortisol in our body. The dopamine can kind of cover up that feeling for a little while. But all the time we spend distracting ourselves on social media, on the neurochemical level, the cortisol does not get metabolized. So we stay in a higher stress mode longer when we distract rather than resolving and facing what it was that stressed us out originally.
Yes.
And so it causes a lot of havoc in the long run if we continue in distraction mode.
Well, and falsely spiking our dopamine levels, whether that be through food, distractions, or addiction, it is a form of coping. But I think that there's a really important distinction here. coping and caring are two different things. Mm-hmm. Self-care or others' care or God care is about solving a problem that needs cared for. Coping is just masking the symptoms to kind of get through it. But again, it doesn't solve a problem, and in fact, it can create bigger problems in the end.
Well, when we get relational care, oxytocin is released in our bodies, which is the bonding hormone, and oxytocin counteracts cortisol, but we need human connection, right. And it works best face-to-face and in person for oxytocin to be released in the body.
That's
right.
Really
We're
good.
Using all the big words today, and I think that it's very important for us to see that our actions, our behavior, have consequences, whether it's a pumpkin spice cake or a latte, or if you're spending too much time on social media. And you're right, there is a dopamine hit that occurs. That's what addiction is all about, right? It's an illegitimate means to a legitimate need.
That's exactly
right. We're going for connection, and, but right now we're going to connect with a caller. It's Jacqueline, who's calling us from Detroit. I love Detroit. Thanks for calling, Jacqueline. How can we help you today?
Well, I have a question about how do I pursue a relationship with a stepmom once your father has passed? My father passed away a few years ago. I've been trying to establish a relationship with my stepmom, and just recently found out she now has a boyfriend for a year now, and she never shared her life with me, and it's kind of upsetting because I thought we were close. I lived in the house with them, and now there's nothing. I'll text her pictures of my family, and I'll get one word responses, or I'll try to call and she won't answer. I know it's a toxic relationship, but I still feel like I should try to pursue, but I don't want to be stuck in something that isn't healthy for me or my family.
That's a good question. Alice?
Why else do you call it a toxic relationship? What else has been happening in addition to not finding out about her boyfriend?
Well, ever since my father did pass away, she wasn't a very nice stepmom. She wasn't kind. Just always kind of felt like she was in competition with me and my sister growing up. And so when my dad did pass, she didn't give us anything of his. Not that we wanted anything, but even just pictures or memories would have been nice.
Wow.
And just real distant. So, and I've known she's always been this way, and I've accepted it over time, but I just, what else should I do, or should I just cut ties altogether?
Where else in your life do you get a healthier mother relationship? Do you have one with your own biological mom?
Yes. So that's pretty healthy, and she's a great lady. So, yeah, my dad had an affair with my stepmom over 30 years ago, so this is kind of how it started. So, yeah, so I have a healthy relationship with my real mom, and now that my dad has passed, it's just, do you continue that relationship?
And when you think about pulling back from your stepmother, what are the holdups for you about doing that? What do you think would be wrong with disconnecting from her more?
You mean, what are some issues if I disconnect?
Yeah, yes. What?
Nothing. I don't. I just thought that's what you're supposed to stay in your family, or I.
Well, and I'm wondering if there's just an adjustment of expectations, because what you said, Jacqueline, was that, you would try to reach out and connect with her, and you get one word responses back, and you're trying to just continue that connection because you had one at one point, but she's not responsive. And so then you have to adjust your approach and say, what do I want to do? What would I feel good about doing in this relationship? And I think that's how you go forward, but that's my opinion. I don't know about what you think, Alice, Chris.
Well, I want to go back to what you said, that you're supposed to stay connected with family. Tell me about that belief and where it comes from.
Well, we're Italian, so it's kind of, you know, family's everything. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not related, sometimes, you know, you just your family with people that have been around for your entire life, and she's known me since a child. And so I just thought, you know, you would think they would want to stay in contact since they took a part of raising you. It just seems like that's what's supposed to happen.
There's the difference between what we, the ideal and the real. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like the gap between the ideal and the real is pretty big. Mm-hmm. And so,
yes.
Ideally, you would want your stepmom to show up in a very particular way, loving, kind, concerned, engaged. But you were saying all along there was this competition. Well, the relationship started from an affair to begin with. Mm. I'm like, it was set up to not be all that great from the very beginning. Mm. And so I think, and it's not to run your stepmom through the mud or anything like that, but I think she's showing you exactly who she is. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And who she's been all along. Mm-hmm. But what this does for us is it adds a layer of grief.
Right.
Because you're going to need to grieve her, but you're more importantly going to grieve the idea of her.
Right.
Right?
Yes. That's good.
And that she has this direct tie to your dad. She's a living memory of him. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's just some layers of grief here that are reasonable to avoid and connection that you want to hold on to, but it just sounds like she is not capable of doing that.
Right.
And so, I don't think we have this book here, but you know, Henry Cloud wrote a book, Necessary Endings, which I am thinking of as I'm talking
that
to you.
That would be a great book.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Jacqueline, I think both Alice and Chris hit the nail on the head, and I think that grieving part and then readjusting what the expectation and how will you connect with her, knowing that this is important to you. Family is everything. And so it may be, you know, you send Christmas cards or whatever. I remember an aunt of mine who's passed away, and she was of a different faith. And so I didn't include her on my Christmas card list. And one day I run into her, and she's like, no, you send me those Christmas card lists. And it was so weird because she never responded to anything. And yet this was something that I was, you know, going to send to her because she wanted to have that connection. You never know how those connections help other people, even though you may not get something back in return.
Mm-hmm. And I want to point out that you have been living by the rule. You're supposed to stay connected with family. When your family members are not playing by that rule, at least your dad and your stepmom, when they wanted to, when pleasure suited them, they went outside of the family rule of staying connected with family. And I don't believe that's a biblical rule at all. I don't think the Bible says you're supposed to stay close to your family, in close contact, in close quarters, no matter what. In fact, it says if your brother or sister sins against you and will not repent and continues that behavior, then you should address it. But then you should step away from them, and you should protect your heart. Because when we keep laying our heart out to be abused by a person who has always been abusive, it does spiritual damage to us and to the relationship. And it can actually be enabling and tolerating sinful behavior. And God tells us, call out sinful behavior. And if it doesn't stop, step away from sinful behavior.
Well, thanks for calling, Jack, and I hope that helps. And, you know, families are tricky, and we all have them, and we all got to deal with them, and we're part of one. So, you know, we've all got work to do. We're going to talk to Robin, who is calling us from Orlando, Florida. She watches us on YouTube. Hello, Robin. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Hello, everyone. Thank you all for everything you've helped me throughout the years. Your ministry is just a blessing. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, I'm trying to narrow it down as much as possible. It's a lot of information.
So well, how about
I'm
you?
To
you
fix
can
my stuff. Okay.
I was going to say you can hear the music. If you throw the question out, we'll get back to the details after the break. But go ahead.
Okay. How do I fix me after husband had an affair, and of that affair, there came a child, and we're still 20-something years later arguing about it still, and there's just so many issues.
Yeah.
And so now it's like hanging on, you know.
And do you, before we run out of time, are you guys raising this child, or did you raise the child?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll be right back to answer your question. Robin, thanks so much for calling. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We just began talking to Robin. Oh, well, where did she go? Maybe we can get her back.
Scared her off.
We might have scared her off. But since you're in the room, Larry, why don't you go ahead with what you have for us today?
Alrighty.
Larry Sonnenberg is here.
Well, we have the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop coming up real soon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not too late. You can still sign up. And let me read somebody's testimony so you know why you might want to do that. This was a life-changing workshop. Coming to understand our different love styles has helped us to get each other more and has given us a place to start over. Now understanding each other's different upbringings have impacted us as individuals. What we bring into our marriage, I wish we had this important information from the beginning of our dating year 20 years ago. We will be eternally grateful for this organization, as hard and as painful it is to look in the mirror and take responsibility for our own actions and hardened hearts, what we both contribute toward the dysfunction of our marriage. It's all worth it.
Hmm.
We're leaving this weekend with new perspectives about each other and will continue to seek counseling. This weekend has given us hope in our marriage.
Yeah.
So, folks,
it's wonderful.
It happens every time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually ties in to Robin's call.
Mm-hmm.
How do we work through really, really painful events in our life and in our marriages? And many times, if you grew up in a home like mine, you'd never learn to have a critical conversation.
Right.
You didn't learn how to go into conflict and hurt and pain in a way that was heard and understood and can resolve itself actually to deeper connection.
Mm.
And so intimacy in marriage, I mean, if you've never done the comfort circle, for goodness sakes, I mean, it is an incredible, incredible tool. The point is that we want to make this as accessible to everyone who can possibly use it and need it. But we need your help to be able to do that.
Absolutely. A gift of any size would be appreciated. A monthly gift through Club New Life will be appreciated. Donating that stock and all the money you made the last couple of years would be appreciated. There's so many ways to give, and we just want to know that it's used for a lot of good things, and the Holy Spirit's doing quite a work through New Life. So thank you very much.
Thanks.
Becky asked a convicting question recently, which was, have you worked to improve your marriage this year? And when she first said that, I thought, gosh, I don't know that I've done anything new to improve my marriage. I've just done some of the good things we've always done that keep the marriage where it is.
Not too late to sign up, Alice.
Well, I'm convicted. Yeah. And I want all of you, too, to think about that. Have you done anything specifically to improve your marriage? And if not, this might be just the ticket.
Well, and I want to jump on what Larry said, since you jumped on what I said. What have you given to this year that has made a difference in your life?
That's exactly
And if
right.
New Life has made a difference, today's the day. You can give us a call or go to newlife.com. But right now, I want to go answer a call. Thank you, Larry, for coming in. And Margaret's calling us from Los Angeles, California. She listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Margaret. How can we help you today? Oh, and the phone is gone. Okay. Well, we are just going to pray over that, and I'm telling you, that is one of those things that we struggle with sometimes, technology, and therefore, we'll just carry on.
Can we go back to talk about, I think we got enough of Robin's question to be able to address it, especially for all of you couples who experienced an infidelity at any level years ago, and you have spent perhaps decades surviving, more or less, surviving the damage that did to the relationship, but you're still stirred about it, and the hurt is still present day hurt from historical pain.
Well, the problem with betrayal trauma and what affairs do is you're being harmed outside of your own awareness, right? So you think life is going by just fine, or you may have a hunch that something's off, but as you're being betrayed, you don't know that it's happening.
Right.
The impact of that is then everything becomes unsafe. The whole world becomes unsettling at that point. And that has that is a profound trauma that definitely needs a healing process.
And I think with that, we have Margaret back. Margaret, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
I'm glad you called back. No, that's okay. That's what we're here for. We're here to help. How can we help you today?
Well, I've listened to you for probably 30 years. And I've called in before about a different topic, but today I need some information. I've been diagnosed with borderline and PTSD.
Okay.
And I'm no stranger to the psychological world, the counseling world. I've been in counseling for probably 40 years, off and on. My background is I have a lot of sexual abuse and other traumas. So I'm having a hard time figuring out how to handle this.
Yeah.
Because with me, it's my relationships are all destroyed.
Yeah.
And, I knew something was wrong, but I knew something was wrong back when I was in elementary school. Mm-hmm. And so when I got the diagnosis, it was like the missing piece of the puzzle. So that was a good thing, but then the other thing is it's pretty dynamic,
right? Yeah.
And I don't quite know how to work this.
Well, I'm so glad you called, Margaret. We're going to help you. You can hear the music. We're going to take a break, but don't go away.
Okay.
We will be right back.
I will.
That can be. It's that puzzle piece. Yet, how does it fit into the bigger picture? And that's what we're going to talk about when we get back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the New Life member thank you gift of the New Life Journal, 100 Days of Peace, 7 Ways to Choose Healing, Growth Has No Boundaries, a Restoration Bible, and a New Life grocery tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're talking with Margaret, who just had a pretty important diagnosis. And while I hear you are relieved, at the same time, it kind of opens up a whole lot of other things. What do I do with it? And so let's hear from Chris and Alice, Margaret, and see what they have to offer you.
Well, Margaret, you've brought something up I think is really important, though it's not directly, you didn't directly address it, and that is when we have these labels called diagnoses, whether that be borderline, PTSD, whatever the case. And by the way, narcissism is a diagnosis. And I mention that because what I'm seeing in our culture is a mass malpractice. And the mass malpractice is this, is when we use labels to weaponize it against people who are suffering. That's wrong. But these are diagnoses used in professional settings to help us understand a group of conditions that we're struggling with to really help people. It is used as a tool to help people. If it's ever used as a weapon against people, that is the malpractice of our diagnoses. And so I just want to clarify that, because I am so glad to hear that you had a description of something that gives you understanding and a sense of, oh yeah, now this all makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. And what makes sense to me is that you're struggling with it because of what happened to you when you were very young, and that your early childhood abuse disintegrated you. It separated you from yourself. It made your body unsafe for you. And so, Margaret, the now what, I think is the now all along, is not how do you repair relationship with other people, although that will absolutely be a part of it, but how do you continue to repair relationship with yourself? And the empty, and the emptiness, that if you take a deep breath and you notice your body between your chin and your belly button, you'll notice at the top end of your sternum is a emptiness that contains fear and shame. When you get too close in relationship, when it becomes stressful, that thing in your body takes over, and that's what's sabotaging your relationship. And so learning to go back into that place, Margaret, and find the little girl who was hurt and care for her really, really well. Love her well. And that means you're going to have to listen to her protest and listen to her anger and listen to her temper tantrums until she is soothed enough to be able to show up well.
Wow, that could take a while.
I'm glad you said that. It does. Right. It really does. It does take a while, and it does take practice. But that I believe, is your ultimate Mount Everest of relationship is you and that little girl that was hurt inside of you and who stole things away from you, the people in your life who, through evil and their own evil, stole what was most sacred to you, and that is your safety as a little girl.
Margaret, do you feel any embarrassment or shame about the diagnosis you've received?
Not really, but I'm not, you know, telling certain people that I have the diagnosis because of where they're at. You know, I'm very in tune with counseling and feelings and working things out, and I've had a lot of therapy, and I've come a long way, but not everybody is where I'm at, and so I don't want other people to judge me because of this diagnosis.
And are there people close to you that you wish knew you at this level, but they're not safe to reveal this to?
Yes.
Would you name one relationship that most affects you that you can't tell them this because they'll judge you?
I don't know that she'll judge me, but I can't take the chance. And it's my daughter.
Mm. Oh. I'm so sad to hear that that's your answer. Because of how heavy that must be for you and the disconnection with her.
Yeah, it's been a disconnection for 15 years, and it's devastating.
And is she unwilling to be in relationship with you at this point?
No, we're in a quote-unquote relationship, but it's very shallow.
Well,
she's not there for me. I'm having health problems, and she doesn't seem concerned about that, and nobody in my family does, except for my husband. But I think part of it is that I've always been the strong one. And so they don't know what to do with me.
Right.
I've learned in past instances that people don't know what to do with me when I'm not the strong one.
So, Margaret, I want you to think and pray about something, that because you are the strong one, I would guess it's both been unsafe and frightening to be vulnerable with the people around you, your daughter included. And although you might not share the name of the diagnosis with her or the details of it, any willingness on your part to share a little bit of your brokenness and your difficulty in relationship might lower the defensiveness of your daughter. And it's worth thinking and praying over. And I'd have you talk with your husband before you do it, since he knows the details of the relationship. But
so,
go ahead.
I have a question, Margaret. Do you have people who are in your corner?
Do I have people who are in my what?
In your corner,
in
like
my
for
corner.
You?
Mm-hmm. Not my husband. That's
okay.
About it. Really.
Which is pretty amazing. It's great that you have a spouse that you feel supports you and is an advocate for you.
Yeah.
Yet I'm sensing that he still can't hear all of what you need him to hear.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm trying to vent a lot with him, and you know, I tell him, I say, you know, he says, "I love you." No, even if I knew about this when I married you, I would have still married you. Mm. And I love you no matter what the label is. And I'm there for you no matter what. But I said, but I need other people.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Right. Well, and that's the reason.
Girlfriends and I,
right.
You know,
yes.
That's the reason why I asked. And I wondered.
If something happens to him.
Right. Well, and that's why I asked that question, because of there is also a need for group connection.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, there are groups that you can be part of that you can learn how that, you know, connection can work other than with your spouse. But, you know, you're not alone, Margaret. This is a new journey. You've got some new information. But I think that there's got to be a place where you connect in a group that will help you practice some of these new ways of connecting with people that will then translate over into other relationships.
It was a relief for me, Margaret, to learn from Mylan and Kay Yurkovich that the diagnosis of humanity is broken, and we all have different versions of broken, but we all are. And Jesus gives us the model of how to move towards securely attaching, where we learn how and when to share our fears and our hang-ups and our sins, and we do it in relationship. And it is by taking little risks with safe people and practicing that helps us move into secure attachment, and to be available for that with your daughter if and when the opportunity arises.
I agree. Well, I hope that helps, Margaret. I would also encourage you, maybe you guys would go to the Intimacy in Marriage. It's great that you have a supportive spouse, but we're going to send you a copy of How We Love as you continue to go on this journey of healing, and we'll be praying for you as well. I'm going to talk to Kyle, who's calling us from Portland, Oregon, and listens on the app. Hi, Kyle. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
First things first, I was referred to you by Back to the Bible yesterday, and I suffer from moral injury based on some physical and sexual abuse I suffered as a child.
How can we help you today then, Kyle? What would your question be?
All the trauma that I've experienced over the years is affecting my relationships with my parents, affecting my relationships with other people, and it's even affecting my relationship with God. I call it a moral injury. It's like I've got a lot of madness in me.
Kyle, it's a soul injury. It goes down to the very core of who you are, and that's why you're experiencing some of this chaos and fear that acts itself out in relationship. And so I want you to have that awareness, because we're going to go to a break right now. And when we come back to it, we'll help you find some solutions to work through that chaos.
Yeah.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We had just begun to talk to Kyle, who was sharing about some past history of victimization and abuse and how to heal from it. And so, Chris, you had asked him a question. You want to go ahead and continue?
Kyle, have you sought counsel on this, like professional help in therapy or a therapeutic setting?
I have. I'm no stranger to therapeutic environments.
Oh, good. Have they been effective? Have they helped you?
So-so. Mm-hmm. It varied.
And Kyle, has the therapy ever focused directly on the abuse that you suffered?
I haven't dealt with the abuse issue.
And do you know what's kept you from dealing with it in detail?
It's a long story, but in terms of first things first, I'm no stranger to the therapeutic environment. I've been diagnosed with things like OCD.
Kyle, even though you've been in therapy for a host of things, it sounds like, when we have very painful parts to our life and story that we hesitate to address, and there are a lot of legitimate reasons to hesitate. It's scary. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. There might be parts that you don't recall. You might feel overwhelmed at the idea of addressing it. But God's prescription for healing that kind of horrific abuse that you went through is bringing it into the light of relationship. And it's confessing, yes, even the details of the story in that safe environment with a therapist who can gently help draw the story out of you and pursue your story. And so even though you've done a lot of therapy, the next step is to enter into it again with the purpose of addressing this part of your mm-hmm. story.
Yeah. Yeah, Kyle, to what Alice is saying, because it's critical, I want you to be able to hear this, is that if you go into things with general issues, you will only get general healing. But unfortunately, what's happened to you has been very, very specific. And the horrific nature of childhood abuse is how vulnerable children are. The more vulnerable we are when we are harmed, the deeper the pain, the deeper the injury. And that requires someone who really, really knows what they're doing to go into that place to help you clean it out and begin the healing process.
And it is both spiritual and psychological mm-hmm. and physical. Some of your abuse, I might guess, goes back perhaps even to infancy or into your mother's pregnancy with you, that there were traumas and stressful environments that you were exposed to that had a deep impact on you. So we're so proud of you that you have done so much work already. And this is direction now of how to get help for what has not yet been resolved within you.
Is that helpful, Kyle?
To a certain extent, in terms of the trauma I've suffered, two things. Number one, it's affecting how I look at myself sexually.
Yes, absolutely.
Being that I was victimized by both men and
oh man, Kyle, buddy, you're the suffering that you're experiencing on the inside, the chaos, the fear, the utter confusion about who you are as a man, who you are as a person, what it means for you sexually. And that is really, really why it is important that you get into someone who really, really knows their work as far as trauma goes and the impact of trauma, and most importantly, how to heal that.
Well, and I would suggest, something specific, like you just said, Chris. I think, so we're going to connect you with a counselor. We'll see if we can find somebody in your area that deals with that specific thing. And I'm going to give them a copy of Forgiving What You'll Never Forget, because the process is a lifelong process. We're going to go to our final call real quick. I want to get to Holly, who's calling us from Phoenix, Arizona, and she listens on the app. Thanks so much for waiting. We just got a couple minutes, but I wanted to get to your question.
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted advice on whether I need to end a relationship or come to terms with something that needs to change in my life. And let me give you a quick background. I'm 35 years old, and I'm an only child. And when I was a junior in college, my parents were killed in a car crash.
Oh, my goodness.
So, it was a very, very rough time in my life. I felt very alone. We don't have much extended family. I'd been dating a guy at that time for about 9 months. Great Christian guy, great family. And his family just really stepped in and took me in at a time where I was just broken. After graduation, we got married, and things were going really well. We started our careers, thought we were going to wait till our 30s to have kids. But when I was 29, he had an affair and left me for a coworker. So I was 30 and divorced and felt more alone than ever. His parents were extremely devastated. That's not how they raised him, and they fully supported me. They really helped me get on with my life. I did 3 years of a lot of grief work and betrayal work and got to a place where I felt like I was ready to start dating again, because I want to have kids, and I know the clock's
So, Holly, tell us about the relationship you're in now and why you're questioning
okay.
it.
Yeah, so my question is, I've been dating somebody for about 8 months, and it seems like it could be pretty serious, but he thinks that I should not have any type of a relationship with my ex-in-laws. He thinks that since we don't have kids, holding me to them, that it's not healthy, that I need to move on from that. And these people are just such an important
Hold on. What is he afraid of?
He thinks that it's my way of holding on to my ex, like keeping in touch, or I don't know. And I don't know
and
whether...
And are you in communication with your ex-husband, and is he pursuing reconciliation with you?
No. He married the person he had an affair with, and my ex-in-laws never bring him up.
And
like,
is your current boyfriend making an ultimatum if you continue in relationship with your in-laws?
No, he hasn't made an ultimatum, but he's made it extremely clear that he does not think that should happen.
Okay,
let me throw up this
because we are almost out of time, and I hate to do this, but you have to look at a pattern of control. If he reacts to fear with control, you're in for a long time of a world of hurt and suffering moving forward.
Because it won't just be the ex-boyfriend, it'll be something else.
Right. Exactly. And so you want to see if that's a pattern. And because what we want to do with our fears, which are all legitimate, is we want to be able to talk through them and express them to understanding. But if he goes down and locks down on control, it's not going to just be this relationship. It's going to be a lot of other ones as well.
If he's not controlling, you can have empathy, because it is a little odd to have such a close relationship with in-laws, but they have been parents to you even more than in-laws. So have empathy for him as well.
Right. Well, thanks so much, Holly, for calling. And we're going to send you a copy of How We Love. That'll help you in your new relationship as well as healing from your past. Thanks so much for listening today. Thanks, Chris and Alice. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.